This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Allen A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue. Also brought to you by Video Only and by Coors Light. Fan Madness from Allen A on 1080 The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. I did just learn that there is a fan blackjack table.
Yes.
Over
and,
there.
And apparently it's being kind.
Yeah, I guess they're all winning.
Yeah.
Ryan Cooley was pissed because he's our GM.
Mm-hmm.
He was pissed because there was not a seat at the table for him.
Well, it was
and
hot.
And all the stacks were piling up, and it was all fan employees at one table.
When you got a hot table, man, you got to fight for the right to feed at the trough. On the plus side, look at salesman extraordinaire Kurt Ludwig.
Yeah.
Already well into the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And the show is just, look at him. He has no idea.
He's trying to keep it together.
He's just got some glossy-eyed stare. We're doing some random finger pointing now. Way to go, Ludwig.
Yeah. It'll get worse.
He's an all-star right there.
Just wait.
Yeah.
So
we're in good hands.
Who's over at the fan table? Is it Chuck from accounting? We got Dave, the sales guy who runs a lot.
Yeah.
Who else is on that table?
Sam Tung.
Sam Tung. He's
General
our
general sales manager.
Dr. Tung. Who else? Joe Fisher.
The great Joe
Fisher. Famous
Fish?
Joe Fisher over there.
How about that?
Who's winning the most money?
You're asking Ludwig a lot of questions right now. Look.
You did? Oh, you backed out. How much you win? How much you win? Up $250,000.
Tasty.
$250,000.
You should probably stop asking Kurt questions because he's getting confused. Look at him.
He's like an old man.
What?
Let's get you another cocktail.
Yeah, there you go. That Huckleberry Bourbon Lemonade, I think, needs a refill. Bartender, we need a topper over here.
So Will Wade is headed to McNeese.
No, Will Wade is at McNeese.
I mean, he's headed to NC State.
So Will Wade isn't going anywhere right now. He's got a tournament to go win.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, he was on some stupid show with a bunch of bros.
He's on some stupid show.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Some show. And they had him on after they beat Clemson yesterday.
Yeah.
And
it was the biggest upset yesterday.
Yeah, I thought this was great, what he said. Because how many times do we criticize coaches for just not owning the fact that, you know, you're leaving.
Yes.
You're going to a new job.
And so there is a report that Will Wade is the next coach at North Carolina State. It obviously hasn't been signed yet, but everyone knows. And normally this is around the time of the year where we'd get the Will Wades of the world that would say, well, you know, I'm focused on my team right
now. Exactly.
You know, I this is a great group of guys, and I don't want to be anywhere else, and I'll worry about that after the tournament. And that's a load of crap. And so, yes, as much as Will Wade is a douche, and he is, look at what he did at LSU, this was one of the more refreshing things I've seen in college sports in a while.
People obviously were talking about how is all of the recent speculation about you and NC State going to affect your players? Would it throw them off? You know, how did you handle this with your players as you led up to the game?
We talked about it. I mean, we were in practice when all that happened. And you guys know. I mean, look, you interview for a job and then your attorneys deal with their attorneys. It's not like I'm talking to people every day. I mean, we were in practice at Brown, and Mike Martin, who I've known since I was in the Ivy League, he came out in practice and said, what's up to him? He's like, hey, you know you're trending on Twitter. So what the hell am I trending on Twitter for? He's like, oh, they said you took the NC State job. I was like, oh. And then I got back to my phone. I had like 300 text messages. And so, I mean, look, that had nothing to do with it. When we got that night, I sat down and talked to the team. We had already talked on Saturday. And, I mean, we're honest. I mean, shoot, half the kids I recruited, hey, look, the goal is to go Power 5 after this year, and some of you guys can go with me. And some of you guys, you know, I mean, so we all know what's up. And, I mean, shoot, our guys, this was great for them. They're going to have a lot of schools in their DMs tonight, too, looking to pick them up, pay them. So it's a good.
What we can say.
What's up, though?
Hold on. Said we all know what's up. So fill me in exactly what's up.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, we all know the deal. I mean,
he
the coaches
just won an NCAA tournament game.
No. Here's what I mean. Coaches, you get an opportunity. You know, when you win to move, and players, when you get an opportunity, you play well, they get a chance to move. I mean, it's the free markets at work. That's America. So, it's I'm happy for everybody. But hey, we want to keep this going, and got a great thing going, and see if we can keep this going another week.
Okay, there he is.
Yeah,
I don't know if you caught all that, but
yeah, it was a little jumbled there in the middle. But
he was breaking up.
There was a. I thought that was the most honest answer.
Yes,
and I don't know why more coaches won't just take the honesty as the best policy.
Right,
because it is basically if it was a little garbled there, Will Wade basically said he interviewed for a job. The reports are that he's going to get the job. And he basically went to his players and said, we all know what time it is. This is good for me. It's going to allow me to move up. And he told the players, some of you are going to come with me. I can bring you to a better school.
Yep.
And for those that don't want to go with me, by continuing in the tournament, you're going to have NIL options or other schools are going to come find you. And I do like that under this new system, and some people may hate the fact that it's this mass transfer portal and teams getting gutted, but there is an element to now that I think most players, unlike the olden days when you thought, like when I signed at BYU, I thought I was going to be there for 4 to 5 years and I would have roughly the same coaching staff, right? There was a lot of stability there. I don't think anyone really does that anymore, especially in the world of college basketball. I think when you sign with a place, you understand, you know, that is a year-to-year sort of thing. It's year-to-year for you. It's year-to-year for the coach. And it is a matter of what is the best situation for us individually and what's the best financial situation. And hopefully the smart teams realize that when you come together and you play great and you go on one of these runs, that's how everyone maximizes their opportunities and maximizes their money. And so for Will Wade to come out and say that, amen for not doing the whole, well, I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Well, it's a good point.
Yes.
And probably one that people hadn't considered in this new era of college sports, that when a coach leaves a McNeese to go to
NC State,
that's actually good for pretty much every player on his team who's worth a damn, because some of them will go with him and others will have other offers elsewhere.
Yes, and the ones that stick around and that have a great tournament run and do choose to stick around, there's more money waiting for them in NIL.
Yeah.
So this is – I just think that the college basketball especially, but football as well, it's just changing. I don't know if it's any better. I don't think it's any worse, though. But I do think it's changing and evolving, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we have a bit of honesty and we stop trying to pretend that this is 1984, and when we get these old coaches, you know, or the old commentators that are like, well, back in my day, we stayed, and it was about the program, and it was more important than the individual. Well, cool for you. It's not 1981 anymore. It's time to evolve and move on, and you said it best. Everyone at McNeese off of this run will benefit from Will Wade on down. The better they play and the deeper they go will benefit every single member of that team. And there's some intellectual honesty going on. That way, no one Jonathan Smith style, and that's what like bothers me, is when Jonathan Smith knows, a month to go in the season that he's going to leave to take the Michigan State job, and he slow plays his guys. You just got to come out at that point and be honest with your guys and be like, hey, man, I interviewed for a job. It's a great opportunity. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but if I do, this is the reality of what we're dealing with, and we can choose to rally around me, and some of you can choose to come with me. We can try to finish this thing off the best way we can. Or if you guys want, you guys can go in the tank. I actually think it's better to tell your players that, because the message to your players is, this is your one opportunity we have as a group. Why do we want this to go in the toilet? Why can't we use this as a rallying cry and say, hey, one last time together, we're going to go on a run and defy some odds?
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think it's better for basketball than football, though? Because football affects so many more people.
Yeah.
Staffs and players.
Yeah. I think that the basketball, the fluidity of it is, it's more chaotic, but I also think there's more opportunity to change. One or two guys for a football program really don't make that big of a difference. It really is more about the collection of that you can get. Whereas in basketball, look at Drake, right? I think Drake is starting four Division II players that came with the coach and a guy that couldn't make the rotation at St. Mary's, and yet here they are, right? Football, that's not really the way you do it. So football, I think there does need to be more stability. It behooves you. But in college basketball, I just think this is kind of the model. It really becomes a year-to-year sort of thing, and you're going to have to learn to adapt to it. I mean, one of the things that Kansas is going to have to deal with is, you mentioned it, Kansas hasn't necessarily always been a big transfer program. They're more of a culture-building program. So Bill Self may have to adjust of getting four or five new players every year that he's not used to, but you better figure it out, because that's kind of the way college basketball is going.
Well, it's almost like a new skill set.
Yes.
I mean, so I listen to Self's press conferences because he's damn entertaining.
Yeah.
And so I've heard him talk about this several times, and he says it's just different to have to try to make it all work with such different puzzle pieces. Yeah. Like this year specifically, he has three guys that have been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like Dwan Harris, their point guard, has played more games, I think, than anyone ever in college ever.
Yeah.
He's been there the whole time. But he's also incorporated, well, Dickinson was there.
But he came from Michigan
last year.
And then you had the South Dakota State kid and the Wisconsin kid,
but then
right?
He incorporated three more transfers, yeah, all wings, you know, and he admitted, he's like, mm-hmm, this is just a different,
yeah.
He didn't do a very good job of it, first of all, and he's admitted that.
Yeah.
They just it hasn't worked out that well this year, but that doesn't mean he won't be better at it moving forward. But yes, it's almost like who's a good coach, mm-hmm, and what it takes to be a great coach has changed.
It's evolved, absolutely.
And that, I think that's a lot of why you've seen the Boeheims and the Roy Williams and the, you know, the Coach K's and the...
They're out.
Jay Wright, even. He left before... Dude, that guy wasn't even 65, was he?
That dude saw the writing on the wall and was like, this isn't
me. He doesn't want any part of that.
Because so many of those guys, again, are culture builders, right? It's
Well, especially Villanova.
Exactly. The old guys teaching the young guys and bringing them through, and then, you know, kind of having that system that you play in, or with Syracuse and the zone defense, right? It's like that is ingrained in you. And when you have to change over players that are used to doing things different ways, and look, I'm a dinosaur and I played a different sport, but the best year that I ever had at BYU, the year we went undefeated, was because we had, it was continuity. We especially as an old line, we had played together for basically 3 to 4 years, everybody, and our depth pieces, and we had kind of grown and taken our lumps. And those guys, it was the funnest I ever played, and it was the most continuity I've ever had playing, and we were so good as a unit, certainly better than our parts, even though we were pretty good. And now I look at like what, like Oregon or what Ohio State or these programs have to go through, where you're incorporating four basically new offensive linemen every year that are penciled in as starters. I'm telling you, you have to find an O-line coach that can adapt to that, because for me as a player, or me coaching that, I can't imagine,
yeah,
the challenge with the and think about this in college, the limited amount of time you have to practice and be with those kids. I mean, it's an entirely new world that you're having to figure out at these two sports.
Well, how many new O-linemen did Oregon have this year?
Yeah, well, I mean,
was it two or three?
Yeah,
was
so
it two?
Well, all the interior guys. Yeah, all the interior guys.
And look at the start of the season.
It was It was an absolute mess.
It was a little rough.
And then once they got it figured out and they shuffled some pieces around, it became a really, really good unit.
One other thought on this. I wonder if, like, when you're Dana Altman, I wonder if you can start looking at this and going, well, okay, I've got a kid on the hook from, well, let's say McNeese.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he look for other kids from McNeese who are familiar with that player? Like, it's like they pick one guy from, you know, that, you know, however they scout.
Yeah.
But would it behoove you to look at maybe bringing two or three guys that are used to each other from the same team, even if they don't fit your scouting model?
Yeah, kind of like you look at Drake and what they did, bringing those guys over. That's actually not a bad idea.
I mean, I'm Dana Altman. Next year, I'm going to go get the entire starting five from who's having a good tournament. Who's making a run? Well, McNeese is up.
Yeah, McNeese.
But that guy's going to take them.
Yeah, McNeese, or you take a team like Drake or maybe someone from Xavier or Marquette, someone
Troy's
like that.
Troy's going to beat Kentucky, and the entire starting five from Troy is going to be at Oregon next
Troy.
Year.
Go throw a bunch of money at him and say, come on down.
That's interesting. All right, well, go Will Wade. He probably is still a douche. I'm reading up on what he did at LSU just to remind myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst thing ever, but he was under federal investigation.
Exactly.
So that's not good.
He was super defiant. He was the guy that decided that he was done being suspended.
That's right.
He told the school,
I'm
done. I'm back.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on what's going on out here. It's not here. They're not playing the games here. But
that'd be something.
We are watching them.
Yeah.
We'll get you caught up on